Hi, welcome to the Overshare Show. I'm Tony.
And I'm Grace. And today we're going to be talking about breastfeeding.
Breastfeeding is a huge topic when it comes to mothering, especially because it's probably your first real job as a mother.
Yes, making sure your baby is fed and stays alive.
Right. I mean, it seems really simple, but it's actually quite complicated.
There are a lot of choices out there.
You can either choose to breastfeed or you can choose not to. And I think it's important that we establish our personal preferences to try.
Exactly. After doing some research about the options out there with formulas and things like that, I initially really wanted to breastfeed because of all the benefits. They definitely outweighed the cons in my view.
I think one of the big cons that many women feel is a problem is that breastfeeding is going to change their breasts.
Yes.
And they're afraid of like how that's going to affect them.
Turning those fun bags into feed bags.
Exactly, because your fun bags, your breasts are these like sexual things for you for your whole life until you have a baby. So to suddenly see them as these functional aspects of your body is a huge psychological shift that you have to face.
Right, that don't belong to you necessarily anymore.
Yeah, they're like no longer your boobs. They're like your baby's boobs.
Exactly.
And I think to just address this idea that your breasts are going to change when you breastfeed, I think we have to be honest with ourselves that our bodies change.
Yeah, that's like one of the smaller things that will change in your life when you have a kid in general, but your body, definitely.
Your body is going to change. So just by having a baby, your body's going to change. So by avoiding breastfeeding just because you don't want your breast to change, I think is not really conducive to the idea that, like, girl, your body's going to change. It's not going to get worse necessarily, but it's going to have...
It'll be different.
It's going to be different. And I'm going to say, I breastfed, and I think my boobs are still pretty cute.
There you go.
They're like a little squishier, but I do think that I do
That's
like...
not necessarily bad.
No.
No you one wants do a lot rock of, hard
You don't
tatas.
Want rock hard no. boobs. And I did a lot of like push-ups and I kept the muscles underneath my boobs strong.
Yeah, there's other things that you can do.
To keep them up. They're not like saggy. Mm-hmm. They're just a little tiny squishier. But if I'm feeling them right now, but I just want you to have that visual. And they feel good, you know? And I think, let's just remember one thing, okay? If you're naked with your partner, whether it's your husband or your boyfriend or your girlfriend or your future person who you're having an affair with, if they aren't appreciating the fact that you're naked with them, like...
Yeah, they maybe shouldn't be allowed.
They gotta go. And I think it's also important to remember that most people spend their time thinking about themselves. Mm-hmm. So they're not really thinking like, hey, your boobs are a little bit squishier.
Mm-hmm.
They're like more thinking like, my genitals feel good.
I'm getting laid.
Yeah, exactly. They're not worried about your boobs. So let's say this. Don't not breastfeed because you're afraid of what it's going to do to your breasts.
Exactly. They're going to change anyway.
Do some push-ups. You'll be fine. Okay, so I think another part that I would like to talk about is just how there is this shift from having these like sexual objects become like
functional
and how that impacts your psychology. Like, did you feel strange about that? Was that something that you were?
Yeah, I mean, they definitely, for me, I had, a long tale of woe with my breastfeeding experience where I only ended up breastfeeding for about a month. And it was something I thought would be easy and turned out to be really difficult. And so because I was caught up in all of the huge changes that come with having a baby, the fact that they changed from sort of more sexual objects, which, I had since I was 12, into these things that I was trying to get to work to feed my child, it didn't, really occur to me till later on that they really had transformed for me and they didn't feel like sexy things anymore. I was sort of in the hospital and had the lactation nurse trying to help me out. And I have big tatas. I have big boobs.
They're quite big. If you want a visual, picture your head hanging off of your own chest. And that's what Grace's boobs are like.
minus the facial features and a lot of
Let's be real. There is a nose there. Okay?
Okay. And so I was worried, like, you know, when I was getting instructions, I was like, I hope he's breathing. You know, I don't see him. I hope he's...
Because he was, like, underneath the mountain of breasts that you had.
Exactly. It was... The mechanics were a little challenging. You know, I thought it would be like, you know, taking a baby doll and popping a bottle into its mouth and just a nice little puzzle piece there. Like, it would just work. And it was more like putting toothpaste back in the tube. It, you know, there's no motor skills involved. And I was tired.
You're very tired, yeah. So,
and I'd heard from other mothers, the beginning is hard, it gets easier. For me, it did not really get easier. I got infections almost right away. And that's a common thing with breastfeeding. And it's something that can be remedied quickly, and it doesn't necessarily have to hinder you from breastfeeding. My infections were kind of out of the norm and became extreme and didn't go away. And I wound up, for those who are squeamish, you may not want to listen to this because it was pretty gnarly. Like, I had like abscesses, you know.
On your breast. Yeah.
So.
They did kind of look like a meth addict's face.
Yeah.
A little bit, yeah.
That is an accurate description. And I sort of had to do antibiotics eventually, which meant that, you know, through the breast milk, my son was getting those as well, which is not great. And there was also, there's also sometimes a way that you can move the infection along if it's not so extreme by continuing to breastfeed. So a lot of times if you have a small infection, mastitis, you can continue to breastfeed and it will clear it up. And that did not happen. In fact, they said I couldn't breastfeed anymore because the infection would have gotten into Calvin and made him sick. So it was heartbreaking. You know, it was a really hard time beyond, you know, having to do this, doing the antibiotics and stuff. It was super painful, like more painful than childbirth.
Wow. And you had to breastfeed a lot. I mean, the baby feeds like every hour, every 2 hours in the beginning. So
exactly.
It must have been so difficult as a new mom being in pain every time you had to feed your baby.
Yeah, it was not fun. It was hard because on the one hand, I was so excited to have this little person finally after so many months to take care of. And at the same time, I would literally just be gritting my teeth and dreading the next feeding. And there was a point where I was sitting at home alone with Calvin and trying to breastfeed. And he started and I just like kind of blacked out. Like I just was seeing stars.
From the pain.
Because it hurt so badly. And I was like, this is not good. I was crying all the time, which I understand now is one way that the body rids itself of hormones. So after you give birth, you're like chock full of all these hormones. And so tears are a way that they excrete themselves. So It's okay, girl. Cry.
We should probably harvest those tears and sell them.
Why not?
I know. There's a market there somewhere. Let's start that business.
All right. And the good thing is I was able to feed Calvin with my own breast milk for about a month and a couple weeks maybe. And so he got a lot of the, you know, initial breast milk, which is called colostrum. It's sort of thicker. It contains a lot of antibodies.
It's good for milkshakes.
I wouldn't know, but I'll just
if
trust
we were
you.
Gonna make breast milk cheese,
there you go.
That's the time to do it right in the beginning.
Another great product idea.
I know, a nice yogurt, perhaps.
So, you know, I'm glad that I tried it. You know, I'm glad that. And I feel like he was able to get some of the benefits of it, especially because it's important right in the very beginning. But at the same time, knowing that this was my first job as a mom, it was super hard. And there was not really sort of direct judgments, but people kind of passive-aggressively, indirectly would be like, oh, when I had a, you know, infection, I just kind of kept going. I just kind of kept going.
And I was just fine. Yeah. I did it.
I just, you know, soldiered through. And I was like, you know, there with my meth addict face on my chest, you know, crying like, okay.
Okay, I'll just keep trying.
And, you know, at the end, I just decided, you know, having a sane, out of pain mom is better than what I am right now.
Right.
And, you know, happy mama, happy baby. Very true.
Did you feel on some level, like you had failed, or was there any sort of like internal conflict that you were going through having to make that decision?
For sure. I think, you know, knowing that being able to feed my baby through breast milk was like the one thing that distinguished me from everybody else in his life, caring for him that way. It's kind of what I associated with being a mom. So not being able to do that totally felt like a failure to me. And that was tough. But he's okay. He's very, very healthy. There are a lot of great choices out there. And I researched that as well. There, you can do sort of generic brands of breast milk. You can do organic goat milk, soy milk. There are ways that you can, you know, look up recipes online, and, you know, if you have a lot of time in a factory,
you can make, your own formula. It, yeah, just,
you know, I looked at that.
And you have yak butter on hand too.
Exactly.
I feel like there's a lot of it. I mean, it says it's a huge testament to how complex breast milk is, because it's not just like one product you can find. You really have to cultivate so many different resources that have like somewhat of the same nutritional value.
Right. You could add like a little hazelnut creamer in there to spice it up. The latte.
Oh, the pumpkin spice for the fall.
So yeah, I did spend a lot of time cleaning little bottles, but
I'm sure.
But it, you know, he is healthy, he is fine, and you know, made it through.
Yeah, I mean, I think your story is really fascinating to me, especially in the sense that you came from this perspective of really wanting to do this. Mm-hmm. And having to make a choice that was difficult for you. Mm-hmm. And I think that is indicative of just a lot of what parenting is. It's like you have this expectation.
And dashed on the rocks.
Right. It doesn't always pan out exactly the way you had envisioned or dreamed it to be.
But it still worked out fine.
And I mean, for you and this idea of like nurturing and bonding, did you feel that that was impacted by the decision to?
No, actually, almost the opposite, because there wasn't a whole lot of bonding going on when I was in screaming pain, gritting my teeth.
And you couldn't see him.
And I couldn't see him under my giant tata. I was able to, you know, hold him up in my arms while I was feeding him with the bottle. And it was also a way for my husband to connect with him and other people, because they were able to feed him as well. So I don't think it took away from that.
That nurturing. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think that's important, you know, for people to understand, is that if breastfeeding doesn't work out for you, it doesn't mean that you're not going to be able to bond in the same capacity.
Yeah, you know? I agree.
And it also doesn't mean you failed in any aspect. It's just we have to be true to our bodies and the mm-hmm. messages that our bodies are telling us. And we're lucky to live in a time where we have these options. I mean, if we were back in caveman times, you would just have to kind of like throw Calvin off the cliff.
or have
a wet nurse. Yeah,
exactly.
Which is always a little bit of a weird concept. I mean, I think it's cool. I'm glad that that exists, but.
Yeah, I mean, and that's another option. You can just buy on eBay probably breast milk or,
you know. You can do that, yeah.
Or wherever.
So if you have a surplus of breast milk, mm-hmm. you should also consider mm-hmm. giving it or selling it to people, because it is a commodity that, I mean, I think a lot of people are looking for.
Right.
So that's a, you know, it's an interesting market. Another thing people can get into is the buying and selling of breast milk. So my breastfeeding mm-hmm. story is kind of a long, epic saga. I kind of liken it to like the Lord of the Rings, or maybe even Star Wars, all six of them. I breastfed until my daughter was 3. Which seemed like a really long time. Mm-hmm. Seemed like a long time, especially because that was not what I had originally envisioned. I knew I wanted to breastfeed. I just never anticipated how long I would be doing it
for. It's longer
for.
Than average, probably.
Yeah, I was officially an extended breastfeeder. I mean, she wasn't tall enough where I wouldn't have to pick her up, but mm-hmm. I mean, we definitely went above and beyond what is, I think, considered normal in America, at least. But for me personally, the breastfeeding began in a very easy and peaceful atmosphere. I was in the hospital. The doctor came in, or I mean, the nurse came in at about 2 a.m. because I had my baby at night. I hadn't tried feeding her yet. And everyone was just asleep. It was super quiet. And she just kind of taught me how to side lay breastfeed. So you kind of just like have the baby next to you and you put your bottom boob in its mouth. And it was so effortless on both of our parts. I never had any pain. The baby latched on immediately.
Yeah. Thank God for lactation nurses.
I know. That made me kind of sad when I was at the hospital. I was like, these nurses do everything. I felt like the doctor just came in, was like, caught my baby, you know, mm-hmm. gave it to me and probably gets paid like 900 times more than these nurses who were with me the entire time and mm-hmm. helped me in this really profound way. So, I mean, I'm grateful for that lactation nurse who just got me started on this path that, you know, really was in the beginning – you know, quite beautiful. You know, I'm so grateful for that experience that I had. And I never had any problems in the beginning. And I was doing, you know, doing great. And I have to say, breastfeeding is the best diet yep. on planet Earth. Mm-hmm. I mean, I gained like 60 pounds during my pregnancy and I lost them all within like 2 months because I was breastfeeding so much. And I would eat like 2 hamburgers right. for dinner.
You have to eat like...
You eat so much. It's amazing. I still actually eat 2 hamburgers to this day because I'm kind of like psychologically used to it. People are always like, maybe just 1 hamburger would be good. But I do want to say it is a great diet. So if you're worried about your body and losing the baby weight, breastfeed, it's going to help you. So in the beginning, everything was fine. I was having an easy time. But I was also co-sleeping with my baby because I kind of felt like that was easier. Like, oh, the baby wakes up, I could just breastfeed and we both go back to sleep. And that was cool until about 6 months when my baby started waking up, I don't know, like 20 times a night.
Right. I remember that zombie.
Oh, my God. It was so intense. I mean, I guess like if I was sleeping next to a pizza, I might wake up and want a bite. But yeah. at the same time, this was happening every night. I never slept more than 45 minutes in a row because I would have to wake up, breastfeed, and then fall back asleep, and then wake up, breastfeed, and fall back asleep. And I did not want to stop breastfeeding, and I did not necessarily want to put my baby in her own room yet because I was afraid of making that transition. I didn't want her to feel abandoned. So I lived like that for about 8 months.
Right.
And I got 5 or 6 breast infections because my adrenal glands were so taxed and I was so tired and my immune system was so low.
Right.
They never got as bad as what happened with you, but they were not fun.
Yeah, I mean, it's like having the flu, even mild ones. They're just, ugh, same.
I would have like,
the flu with, you know,
the baby.
A baby on you, someone on you.
It was not easy. And I would have like cabbage leaves in my bra all the time because that helps like pull out the infection. I was like a vitamin C addict. And, you know, I really have to say that that was an incredibly emotionally difficult time. And maybe what I could have done was get the baby out of my bed and I wouldn't have withstood that for so long. But I do have to say for any of you mothers who are breastfeeding and co-sleeping and this is going on with you, probably getting the baby out of your bed or having someone sleep between you and the baby might help. Mm-hmm. So anyway, I finally got her out of my bed at about 1.5 and it was actually an incredibly easy transition. So I don't know what my problem was. But so then I kind of was like, I thought I would stop breastfeeding when she got teeth because, oh, she's going to like bite me.
Right.
Yeah. But she didn't really bite me. And then I was like, oh, well, I'll stop when she can like walk up to the tap. And then, you know, that milestone came and went. And then I was like, well, maybe I'll stop when she starts talking. It'll be weird if she asks for it.
She talked really early.
She did talk really early. She was a chatty 1-year-old. Mm-hmm. She called them nanas. And she'd be like, more nana. That was like her first sentence, like, mm-hmm. more nana. So all these milestones that I thought would be awkward, actually, I was like, ooh, I don't want to do that, came and went, and it felt totally natural. And I do think there is this kind of, like, idea that we have that breastfeeding is sexual.
Mm. Well, just because boobs are...
Boobs are sexual. Mm-hmm. But, like, when you're doing it, you're not engaging in a sexual act. It's just what you're doing with your kid. And it feels
day after day. It's not sexy.
I know. I do have to say that, like, where in the beginning I, like, really felt this, like, super nurturing, bonding, spiritual, metaphysical, mystical magic, I got to say, like, towards the end, I would, like, be on my iPhone, like, checking my Facebook feed. You know, like, it became...
Breastfeeding number 3,294.
It was so habitual. I had mentally and probably emotionally checked out, but I didn't know how to stop. And mm-hmm. she was really still into it.
Right.
And we would get
toddlers are super convincing.
They are very convincing because they are very demanding. Annoying. You know, like, we would get into fights about it. Yeah. And sometimes she would, like, want to go from one side to the other, back to the other. Like, you know, like, we were, like, at a tennis match or something. Mm-hmm. She just wanted to go, like, back and forth. And I would almost lose my effing mind. Like, I was like, I can't do this anymore. And I would say no and create a boundary. And there would be times where she would just, like, cry for four. Only thing she would cry like that for, because she wanted to keep going. And it wasn't just about, obviously, nutrition or even nurturing. Like, I read books. It's not like I didn't research this. And I'd be like, hey, would you like some juice? Or how about a cuddle with mama where your face is right up against those things that you want, but yet I'm not going to give them to you. Like, it was not like this easy thing where I could distract her. It was mm-hmm. something that
there's nothing else quite like it.
Yeah, right.
Replace it with. Like,
I wonder if it was like the, you know, the oxytocin or whatever that's released. If she was just like,
oh,
yeah, she's like, I need a hit. Like, I think she my kid's probably going to smoke pot
instead
at one point.
Of my boobs, have some heroin.
Yeah, like, how about some codeine, you know? Just it'll relax you.
Take the edge off.
And some opium. It'll just, you know, keep you that calm. So, okay, so the weaning process. You know, again, I read about it. They're like, okay, well, cut off certain times and blah, 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 blah. So I was, like, trying to prepare her for it. We were only nursing at one time a day. And I told her for about 3 months, I'm like, hey, on your third birthday, the nanas are over. You know, like, it's going to happen.
Countdown.
The countdown has begun.
I know you were counting down.
I know, like, every day I'm like, oh, only 48 more days. So, you know, her third birthday came. I felt like I had done what I was supposed to do in terms of psychologically preparing her, cutting down the feedings. You know, I tried to follow the advice that was out there. Her third birthday came and went. She was okay that day because she was eating cake.
Which was delicious.
It was an amazing cake.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next day, it was around the same time as nap time. And she was like, all right, let's do this nana thing. And I was like, no, dude,
That's
over.
It.
It's over. I'm like, the nana fairies came and they took my nanas away. And she was kind of confused by that. She was like, yeah, they're right there. I see them.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, okay, yeah, but they took what's inside the nanas away. And she just started weeping like nothing I'd ever experienced. It was like she was lamenting and mourning the loss of something so pivotal and important. And it was
the death of a friend.
It was so devastating. It was one of my top two most difficult parenting moments. It was so sad because, you know, when your kid's crying because they're like, I want to wear my purple socks, not my pink socks, you know, it's kind of like, okay, dude, relax. But there was something so authentic about these tears, and I was not emotionally prepared for that myself, and just how much like empathy and compassion I had for her. And it was so hard. It was so hard not to give in.
Yeah, and I think also your child's tears and crying are like specifically biologically designed to like
rip your soul apart.
Rip your soul apart. So you're like, make it stop.
Yeah. Oh my God. And I was like trying, at first I was trying to rationalize with her and like be like, the Nana fairies came and they're bringing Nana to all the new children. But like, it wasn't about like solving it for her mentally.
Right, right.
You know, like there was no consolation.
Mm-hmm.
It was just like, this is the pain of loss.
Mm-hmm.
And all I could do was like hold her. And I kind of cried with her, you know, because I can't say that I was necessarily nostalgic because I was really ready for this to be over. Mm-hmm. But I did feel this is like immense compassion for mm-hmm. her. And mm-hmm. like just this, I don't know, just like the sadness of the fact that, yes, this phase of our lives is over. So then about like after an hour and a half, she had some cake.
Which was delicious.
The cake was amazing. I should put this recipe somewhere on the website.
Weaning cake,
yeah. And then the funny thing is, Grace, is that she never really asked for it again. You know, I felt like I had to give her that space and time to let go. But then it was kind of over. I mean, granted, she was a little needy for the rest of that week and much more, like, weepy about things.
Right. Getting her ground again.
Yeah. But she let go, you know? And I think that was a really important thing for me to learn is just how adaptable kids are.
Right.
But you really do have to let them mm-hmm. go through their own process.
Right. No matter how painful the emotion, if you let it be, it will change soon enough.
Yeah, because they, unlike us, I feel like don't hold on to the pain in the same way. You know, it's not like she resented me afterwards or would like look at me with contempt and be like, mm-hmm. thanks for taking away my nanas. You know? Yeah. Bitch, mom. My mom is such a bitch. No, like I felt like, and even sometimes now to this day, we'll like talk about it if we see another baby breastfeeding. And I ask if she remembers that. She's like, yeah, I sure do remember.
Back in the day.
When I was a baby. Keep in mind, she's only 3 and a half now, but she's way beyond it. So I guess my point is to all you mothers weaning, it's not easy. There is a process to it. But I do think once you're ready to stop, you have to stay committed, you know, to the time frame that you've set out for yourself, and your kid's going to be fine.
Right.
You know?
Planning helps.
Yeah, it does help.
Knowing, like, this is the deadline. And, you know, so you are kind of as emotionally prepared as you can be, you know.
To stay committed.
Yeah, not casually kind of like, this is it.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I think that, and I do think also it's reminding me of just how important it is. Like, once you draw a line, you got to stick to it. Yeah. You know, I think that if I had given in, it would have been, I probably would still be doing it to this day because she would have been so confused by.
Mm-hmm.
So, mm-hmm. God, when you draw those lines, ladies, got to stick to them.
Wait, the fairies brought them back? I don't, what is with these fairies?
I know, these fairies are flip floppers. I'm not voting for these fairies in the next election, that's for sure. Okay, so let me ask you, what are your feelings about public breastfeeding?
Public breastfeeding. It's really something that, you know, until we decided to do this, I hadn't thought a whole lot about. I would see, you know, articles once in a while or hear about some woman being harassed and thinking like...
Or arrested
and thinking, that is ridiculous. I mean, it's almost a non-issue for me. I don't see how, you know, something we're born with that is designed to feed babies should, you know, it should be shameful when we use them for their purpose.
Yeah.
You know, wherever that is, you know, it just seems sort of ridiculous.
Did you feel comfortable breastfeeding in public? Like, what was that like for you?
Yeah, actually, that being said, I felt totally uncomfortable breastfeeding in public. And part of that is because of, you know, like I said, you know, I kind of got boobs when I was around 12-ish and had been trying to cover them up and minimize them and squish them and squash them so they weren't so obvious since then. And all of a sudden, I was supposed to be comfortable whipping them out in public, like, hey, here I am, mother, hear me roar. And it just didn't work that way. I felt like, you know, I tried those little curtains that you can buy to hang around your neck and they like, you know, those little shower curtains. And it didn't work. I needed like a Batman cape or something, you know, something that I could swoop around me. I needed something larger, basically. You know, it would have been cool if I had like a mask to go with my cape. I could like, you know, have a little anonymity, you know, if not privacy.
I think, again, another idea we can market, the Batman cape.
Yeah.
Or totally. Dracula, if you want to get kind of sinister about it.
Yeah, for the goth set.
Yes. Breastfeed in privacy with our new capes.
And, you know, there are, obviously, it doesn't feel like a sexual act to me, but there are people who are attracted to boobs and fascinated by them. And so sometimes people were a little too comfortable with me breastfeeding in public. I had some guy be like, hey, you know what? You go right ahead and breastfeed. I'll be right here. And sat like right next to me. So our thighs were touching and I could feel his breath. And I was like, I got this. Okay.
Like, I don't really need you to monitor my process.
I'm so thankful for your creepy support. it didn't happen a lot. And, I only did it for a short time anyway. So it became a non-issue. But I think, do it. It seems natural.
I know. I was also shy about it, and I think that it definitely kept me home in mm-hmm. the beginning because I didn't anticipate when I was going to have to feed her and that was all I had to feed her.
Right.
So to do that in front of strangers was actually kind of intimidating.
Yeah, it's a hurdle.
It really was. And so I stayed home more. And I think that part of that is because I was conditioned to kind of feel shy about mm-hmm. it. Mm-hmm. And I think that's kind of a tragedy. And I do actually respect a lot of these Facebook groups that are out there that are trying to normalize breastfeeding by like constantly posting pictures of it.
Yeah.
And I like that. I like the psychology behind it is like, we're not going to feel comfortable until we see it in the public domain enough times to just have it be something that's more normal.
Yeah. Just accept it.
So why do you think that there is this kind of taboo or controversy around it?
Well, I think we've talked about it before, and even in the title, it's like, fun bags. They're very sexualized objects. They're used all over the place
to market products.
To market products, as sexy. They are, the way that people brand things. And, maybe it's even like corporations who look at it and like, don't breastfeed in public. You're ruining our brand.
You're diluting our brand.
Yeah, you're taking the sexy out of our brand.
How are we going to sell cars if you make breasts seem like functional and for babies? It's a conspiracy.
Yeah.
I think you're right, Grace.
Well,
I think it's a corporate conspiracy because it's pretty silly.
It is. It is silly.
And hypocritical considering we see boobs all the time, just the tops of them and the sides of them now.
Side boob.
I'm sure there's going to be a new craze of bottom boob, which I'm actually kind of into right now. I'm gonna start that. I'm just going to cut my shirt so just the bottom of my boob show.
Hang out.
Yeah, I do think there is this like obvious hypocrisy that exists within culture when it comes to sexuality because it's like sexuality works when it's contained and in the spectrum that's kind of more A, commercialized and B, like pornographic.
Yeah, yeah. I know. And it is. It's sort of like they can be, pushed up and, strapped in pleather and enhanced and, that's okay.
Right.
That's okay to put on, the back of a cereal box or anything.
Right.
But if you like, kind of see the top part, for a few minutes.
Of the areola.
Exactly.
Where the baby's mouth just doesn't exactly cover it.
Yeah. Then it's you're a slut and a whore.
You indecent hussy.
Yeah.
It's, how dare you corrupt my child.
Exactly. Whipping them around. Like
I know. It's interesting because I did, because we live in the country, so there were moments when I like breastfed amongst like women and their children. Mm-hmm. And it's not like I felt like I was corrupting kids at all. Like they weren't necessarily interested in what I was doing.
Right.
Unless they were like reminiscing when I reminisce over you. I just really feel that I think the best thing we can do for each other as mothers and encourage, husbands and partners to do is to just like help the mom like feel comfortable.
Right.
And just like remind her that it's okay. Her body's beautiful. She's doing a good thing. Because there was something that like saddens me when I think about how embarrassed I felt.
Right. Right. Like you were supposed to be really good at it in the beginning. And the idea of parenting is that it's a huge learning curve the whole way through.
Right.
So to be able to do it poorly in the beginning and still be accepted and not, have it be made a huge deal.
Right. And just giving women the space to, feel comfortable with their own bodies. I mean, we all have so many issues regarding our bodies in general. Mm-hmm. We don't need this one when we're becoming moms, you know, for the first time or for the 50th time.
Right. I know. I'm sure that's part of it, too. It's like moms don't want to breastfeed in public because they don't think their boobs are cute enough.
Oh, God. The tragedy of it all.
So sad.
I know. But I have to say that when people do breastfeed in front of me, I look at their boobs. So.
Yeah, no. I mean, I definitely am like, oh, that's happening.
Yeah. And then I like register it and then I look at their face like I'm supposed to. But I will sneak a glance. So I guess that's human nature.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I think it's really great that there are so many resources out there.
Right.
For women now, like La Leche League. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's great articles and things. We can put them up, links to them
on our website. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of Facebook support groups, too. Mm-hmm. So I definitely suggest looking those up. And please message us or email us any questions, overshareshow@gmail.com.
Right. On this topic or, you know, another topic that you'd be interested in hearing about and
yes, sharing. And check out our website, overshareshow.com. We also have a Facebook fan page.
Yes.
Overshare Show. So please like us, visit us, write us,
yes,
comment.
And thank you. Thank you for listening.
Thank you for listening. And good luck to you and your breasts. And I hope they.
And your babies.
And your babies. And I hope you give them a nice little squeeze for us. Say hello.
Your boobs and your babies?
Yes. Okay. All right. Thank you.